Now, the first provision that Congress enacted was a transition tax with respect to foreign earnings that were being held outside the United States that had not been repatriated. And the effect of this provision was to require in a single year an inclusion of all of the foreign-owned income that had not been brought back as dividends to the United States as yet. You may have seen that in the press, the popular press, that there had been more than $4 trillion held by U.S. companies outside the U.S. And Congress wanted to motivate repatriation of that. And what they decided to do was to apply a transition tax on any income that had not already been taxed under one of these anti-deferral rules, but to provide a concessionary tax rate. Now, the concessionary tax rate would be 15.5% to the corporation, not a 21% rate, but a 15.5% rate if the offshore earnings were being held as cash or cash equivalents. The rate would be an 8% rate if the offshore earnings were invested in hard assets, brick and mortar type assets. So there's been a huge ongoing series of notices that have been issued by the IRS about how do we determine how much of these earnings are attributable to cash and cash equivalents, how do we count, and all of the rest. And that is a one-year issue since this transition tax is a true-up for all of the earnings prior to 2017 up until 2017, and it's a one-time tax, so it's a one-year issue for those that are involved in that analysis. There's a number of complexities. So if you have that issue with a client, then I've scored here the major points that have been the subject of comment letters to the IRS about what needs to be done to provide further clarity in this area. That'll be the extent of what I say about that transition tax. The forward-looking provision is the so-called Global Intangible Low-Taxed Income provision, or what people are calling under the acronym GILTI. I think someone must think they were very clever to come up with an anti-deferral regime called GILTI. It kind of gives you the penumbra of what Congress thinks. You've earned this income outside of the United States. Well, it's GILTI. Is the provision that we're going to apply to that type of income. But the provision applies in a somewhat aggregate approach. The subpart F regime that has been our longstanding regime looks at type of income by type of income to determine whether or not to tax the U.S. shareholder. This GILTI provision does none of that. It's going to do a basic, albeit it's not very basic, calculation to determine the amount of the U.S. inclusion. And the calculation is, what is the total amount of the income earned in a CFC? We're going to call that the CFC-tested income. What amount of income was earned outside of the United States in companies that have a U.S. person that owns 10% or more? Notice the threshold is 10%. That they own 10% or more of this foreign corporation. What's the aggregate amount of that income? And that comes up with the first number we need to know. And we're going to subtract from that number 10% of the net deemed tangible return. Well, what is that? Subtract from it the net deemed intangible return or tangible return. And what is that number? It is 10% of the qualified business assets that are owned by the CFCs. So let me go through that one more time. If the CFC, we determine the amount of the income that was earned overseas, and we take what is the qualified business assets, the tangible assets that are owned by CFCs, time 10%. And it's the excess amount that's GILTI. I can say it a third way. Congress determined that if you earn a 10% return on your assets outside of the United States, that's a routine profit. That's not scary or objectionable to us. But if you have a company in Ireland that has a post office box, no assets, and earns $7 billion, then its return far exceeds a 10% return on its equipment or buildings or assets. It has a non-routine profit. And so its CFC-tested income would exceed the net deemed tangible return. So what Congress is trying to get at is the idea of a calculation that says, let's take all of the income that is earned outside the United States. Let's determine what is the depreciable assets that are owned by those entities. And if they earn income that comes up to 10% of that asset number, then that is a routine profit that won't be subject to tax. But if it exceeds that amount, then the foreign company is guilty. They have income that is outside the United States that is beyond a simple routine return on assets and will create an immediate inclusion to the U.S. person's hands. Now, when someone includes a income under this provision, and we will work through an example of this to work through how this works out, the taxpayer is allowed under Section 250, only a domestic corporation is allowed this deduction, but they're allowed a deduction equal to 50% of the guilty inclusion.